Oh my God, we're here. Guys, we've made it to the very end. We've survived. I hope you didn't forget to go to the restroom. You didn't forget to drink some water, but we're here. It's Easter. Yeah.
Hey.
Al, have you ever been an Easter person?
Yeah, I actually have. Funniest thing is that I like doing both things when it comes to the activities. I like to hide the eggs and also look for them. But now since I'm old enough, I can't look for them anymore. So it's considered stealing from the little kids. So, yeah, I still have fun. Like today, I'm gonna have a little barbecue and gonna definitely hide some eggs. But yeah, what about you, man? Like, have you had any cheers to Easter's recently?
Growing up, I really liked the Easter egg hunt. My family was never really very religious, so for the religious part of it, we never really celebrated. Of
Yeah.
course, I think most people do it for the Easter egg hunt and stuff like that. But I think in terms of that, I think it's one of the perfect holidays for a kid. It's competition, but it's a safe, I think, calm competition. Who can get the most eggs or who can get that special egg? I don't know if your family's ever done the egg hunt and you get that one with like the money inside. You're like, I got a dollar. I'm rich. I'm going to college. But years ago, I remember my grandma put so we did the Easter egg hunt. And of course, we're mainly having the kids just do it. And my grandma was like, "Where's the main egg?" And we're like, "What main egg?" She's like, "I put money in this one egg." We're like, "How much did you put in there?" She's like, "I put 100." We're like,
No
"Why?
way.
We don't know where this egg is, and you put a $100 bill in this egg, and we could not find it." I don't know if anyone ever found it. I think in the end, like a little kid found it, but I think it went like an hour without being found.
That's a
It's a funny
good
little
eggplant.
story. Yeah, and then I have a well, we have a friend, our friend Angel. We mentioned him a lot here. I wish we would have had him at least once on the
Yeah.
podcast. Probably the most talked about person. We talk about him more than Trump, probably. People are like, I don't know who this Angel guy is, but we know a lot about him. But our friend Angel, he's pretty Catholic, where he does the Lent thing. He gives a meat and a bunch of other stuff, and he has this tradition. I'm not sure if you've ever done this with him. I know we live with you in our last year out, but he gives up meat for Lent, and then on Easter he goes to Round Table and he gets an extra large pizza for himself with like every piece of meat, and he eats it all. But that was his thing. I wonder if he's still doing that. But yeah, there's something about a holiday, the family time.
It's a wonderful time. Well, obviously we're both kind of like family oriented, so I always like those holidays, even ones where you just get the chance to enjoy yourself with the family.
Yeah, I definitely like that growth when you realize you like the family time and you like just eating. I think there's a certain shift in our point in our life when we have that shift. I think we talked about this before, where there's that point where you're a kid and you want like toys or whatever. And then there's a certain point where you're like, I want socks. I actually want those socks. When I was 5 years old, I didn't want them. I think there's that point where you're like, I want just the family time. I want just the food.
At times more food than family time, but still
Oh
it's
yeah.
worth it. But it's part of growing up, I like to sometimes reflect back and think like of what I would have thought in certain situations when I was little and how different I perceive it. Like I remember the biggest thing of them all was that I was really a bad kid when it came to grades and stuff like that. My mom would always have to shout at me to do my homework, or like she would be pissed, like, why do I have C's or something like that. And growing up at least whenever I see my little cousins and they're doing like bad or they're not doing to the potential I know they can, I now understand, like, damn, this is what now and I even tell my mom, this is I now I
Yeah.
understand your struggle a bit.
Man, there's so much to talk about on this podcast. I feel like what's funny is we never had time to talk about everything. But in a bit, we're going to get to our main point, like the one point of the podcast today. But it's just funny how your experiences shape the way you think. For my parents, they came here. I mentioned very slightly, yes, last week when you mentioned about how you came from Peru. My parents also came here when they were young. I think my dad might have been like 7 years old. I think my mom was like 3 years old. But for them, and of course, when you come to the country at that age with your family, like your main priority is staying in the country, staying in school. Having a place. So for my parents, it wasn't really like they never really just knew about college. I remember growing up, mainly because of their experience, but my mom, like, yeah, great. Like she wants to see A's and all that stuff, but she was okay with C's because C's mean you're there, you're passing. And it's not like she was settling for less. It's just their priorities was just you're comfortable. You're good. But what's funny is like now as an adult, like and having gone through school now, I'm like, no. I wish I had gotten straight A's. In college, I remember, I think the first time I got a C really hit my GPA. I was really disappointed.
It's, man, this is going to spawn another conversation, but I'm just going to try to keep it short. When it comes to, at least for me, adapting, I remember, what was it? When I got here, I was 8. I started school, maybe when I was 10, 12, no, let's say 12. Like, my mom gave me that amount of time between my when I arrived to then to, you know, adapt a little bit, learn English, you know, be able to kind of understand the lifestyle, new lifestyle I was in. And then afterwards, she started pressing me about grades. And, you know, it's funny to hear your side of the story where they're like, you know, your parents are like, yeah, you're adapting, you're doing well, that's good. Well, my mom was like, all right, you had your time. Now you got to do this other thing. And I think, well, obviously it's a different parenting style. It just shows, you know, the personality and customs of a family, you know?
Yeah,
Like, obviously there can be a straight answer for everything where it's like, yeah, take your time, adapt. But then when it comes to our both parents' decision, different decisions, it shows kind of like how their personalities are. Your parents are more compassionate while my parents are more demanding. Let's say,
mm-hmm.
and then it shapes us. So all of that, just relating to grades, is funny how that can work out.
And even geography plays a huge part too. I grew up in South Central LA, which is not a nice part of LA. And my parents, they spent most of their life there. For me, you know, I was only there for a few years, but because of them being in a not so great part of LA, where they're seeing crime and not necessarily been in fights, but they've had to defend against bullies, and even they've told stories of like gangs and stuff, but that really changes your outlook, I think, when you're raising a kid. Where a big thing in my mom's parenting was the idea of she would always tell us about our record and about not going to jail. Like, that was a huge thing. Of course, but the thing is, they saw so many people getting in trouble at that point, because, you know, you're in a not so great part of LA. Uh-huh. Where they saw people involved with crime and gangs and stuff. So I had a lot of lectures. I think I've had more lectures about saying no to gangs and staying away from crime than I did sex. That's because of my parents having grown up in just a specific location. I think that really affects the way you're raised in a certain way. But what's funny is I remember my mom constantly drilling this idea of, you know, if you fuck up, that will screw up your record for good. That's permanent. And I always felt like there was a good possibility I could make one mistake and go to jail. And I had this fear in my head, like, I could go to jail, but like, I didn't need that fear. But it's just the idea that even like where your family is can really affect those ideals, you know, with which you're raised with. It's just so crazy. Like, you were saying your family was more demanding grades. Mine was just more so stay out of jail. And the thing is, there is no one right way. The main thing here is they both want us to succeed, but it's just crazy how there's different ways. And
One last thing I want to add too is that also where my family's from too is like, it's not good either. when I first told you guys the story of my grandpa and where my mom used to live, not in, within the capital Peru, which is the actual city, they used to live a little more in the like, not farm area, I don't know what's how to say, like rural areas, let's say. It wasn't good either. Like, when it came to violence and stuff like that, or temptations and staying away from it. But those same thoughts of like constantly, just staying out of being parented to stay safe, don't get within those temptations, and really focusing on their career. And at least for my mom, like, at least her thought is just taking it to another level, you know. Like, she was the one that took my family, I think, from living in an apartment with our family to actually living in the house, and then from living in the house to moving to another house in a nice area, and then obviously here too. And then it's just so many. It just, oh man, this conversation is good for last week's episode.
Oh yeah, definitely. As I was saying, like, there's gonna be some overlap, and I honestly thought like this were gonna be some special two episodes, very different. But Al, the point of this, again, we mentioned last week, but the idea of new chapters is always a very, it's scary. And I think it can be very exciting, but I think it's easy to skip over the exciting part of it. You know, like, you're at a job, it's comfortable to just stay there. You know, even if you want to leave, I think it's easier to just stay there. Sadly, you get lost in comfort sometimes. But last week we mentioned that, at least for now, we're going to be taking a break from podcasting. This one's going to be the last episode for at least for a while. But let's delve right into that. There's going to be a lot of behind the scenes But first and foremost, you know, I've enjoyed doing this podcast. I think in some ways it's definitely changed me. I remember there was a point, Al, you don't mention it as much, but I think you still do it, where you were seeing that the podcast was making you do research. You said it was making you read the news. It was making you get into politics. You were very involved in looking into like the last presidential election. You said you've never really done that before, but how else did this podcast change you?
Doing your research is one thing I definitely started doing more instead of just like hearing it from somebody. Like, I actually want to, if it's something important, obviously, that, you know, shapes your ideas, I always try to do the research for it or try to understand it, because like, I know we bash so much on media and news, but it's kind of true. You know, you want to not just be told something, but also do the research to make your own conclusions. That's one of the biggest things. Then the other thing will be also opening it up more. I definitely feel like I've been less hesitant now. I try to share my ideas more, and actually towards the end I shared a lot. So being more open out there in the internet has led me to at least some little projects I've thought about and different ideas I would like to bring out. And finally, I think honestly, I don't know if I say this, but I think our friendship grew more because of this as well.
Yeah, it definitely changed.
Like we said in the first episode or two, like it was just basically Xbox talk. Like we would just talk about random things, bring up certain facts and just give our small opinions to it. But we didn't really share our internal ideas or our biggest thoughts about those topics. And I would say we weren't having the best chemistry like you or Angel had, but over time we just learned to have our own sort of conversations. And that's really been, I think, the biggest growth I've seen out of all those things, like those three factors I brought up.
Yeah, definitely your comfort for talking about things. I remember in the very, very beginning, you would tell me, hey, I mentioned my mom here. Can you edit it out? I mentioned this. Can you edit it out? There was a lot of times where you would tell me that, hey, delete this. And I mean, you can say it right now, Al, but last week, I think I asked you like three times, hey, are you sure you want to leave this? Are you sure you want to leave this? You're like, dude, yeah, leave it all in there. And I was like, I was shocked. I was like, Al said some things, not bad things, but just things that were very personal, but it was a good thing, and I was happy with the way it was going. And I think it just definitely sheds a lot of light into you, and people go through things, and I think at times people don't think other people are going through things, or they listen to a podcast or watch a TV show and they're like, nah, these people they don't go through shit, you know, they just podcast and that's it. But we said this one wasn't gonna be short. We already got derailed. That's the thing about Savages Unscripted from the very beginning. But I think that's what makes this podcast the way it is, where we do have things we want to talk about, but we will get lost talking about food or beer or the weather or just anything. We'll be like, oh shit, we haven't talked about these five things. But Al, it's funny that you say about bashing the media, because I'm going to talk a little bit about why, at least what's going on with me. But so over the past couple years, you know, I graduated, 4 years ago? That's ridiculous. I feel so old. But I love when someone says that and they're younger than you. So there's times where I say like, I'm so old, and someone's like 40 and they're like, oh yeah, but
makes you appreciate time.
Yes, but when I graduated, I think for like a lot of people, there's the idea of what do I do? And I mentioned here the idea of education, and I think I pursue teaching because I don't mean this in a cocky way, but I was good at it, where I like English, I like reading, I like writing, and I was good at teaching it. I'm good with kids, I'm good with teenagers, but in doing that, and actually being there and studying it, I was like, this isn't for me. I'm not feeling it. I think you can be good at something and not want to spend your life doing it. I think we can all agree on that. But over the past year, I've been just very lost. But what's funny about the podcast is I've always had that interest in research and looking up topics and talking about it and reading about it more. And we talk a lot about doing your own research, and you and I really did do that. Where even you were, I think a couple weeks ago, you mentioned a news source I've never heard of. What was it? That news one? You said it was very unbiased?
Oh, Grounded.
Like, Grounded. Okay, I thought that was going to be it. But for a long time, this podcast was a hobby for me. And that's it. I think it's easy to see this hobby. I'm not going to make money off of it, you know? But I was getting more and more into research, and over the past year, I've been looking into grad school and stuff, and I got into a graduate program. I'm going to be going to New York of all places. But what's funny about the media is I'm going to be studying the media over the past, we're going to be 3 years for this podcast, Al. We almost went 3 years. We just didn't get there. But the media is weird and it is very complicated, but I think it's one of those things where it can be used for good. I think it can be used as a tool, and that's what I want to study. So what I'm looking into is just studying the media. How can we use this tool? How does it shape us? And I don't think I mentioned it on here, but on my social media, my handle is Dr. Hector. I've always wanted to one day get my PhD, and maybe in a few years, I'll be doing that. But that's why I need a break from podcasting right now. Is just I have just so much to focus on. But what you got cooking now?
I thought your segment was going to take a little longer.
I had a lot of stuff I was going to say, but I was like, you know, let's just keep it short, sweet.
I did want to ask you when... So basically starting the podcast led to you choosing this career path.
This is something I've always been interested in. I think doing the podcast gave me more of the experience and the tools. So a funny thing about me, and when I graduated with a degree in English, but my last 2 years, you know this, Al, but I think I've ever mentioned on here, but I was going for a minor in communications. Mm. And I loved it. I wanted a double major, but there's also that idea of I got to get the hell out of here. I just didn't want to be in school much longer.
I remember so, that. Yeah. You told me.
I loved communications.
And you didn't want to stick around. You're like, no, I got to leave. I should have just done the double major. If you like it. You're like, no, I've already got my degree. Like, but I remember specifically I told you, do you like it? And if you do, you should go for it. Like,
yeah.
Maybe spend a quarter or two more, but... Yeah.
This is how we learn. But yeah. I still have this essay, and I was talking. So I've been talking to advisors. Like I said, you know, I'm very involved in this new school already. I'm already talking to counselors, advisors, the dean. And right before when I finished my last comm class, it was a research class, and we did this research paper over the semester, and we had a final, and we turned in the paper I think like week before, and she was just giving back our papers graded or whatnot, and when I finished the class, I turned in my test, and the professor comes to me and she was like, hey, you're not a comm student. And I was like, yeah. She was like, you're the only one in here that's not a comm student. You're an English major, you know, corner of the roster. I was like, yeah. And she said that basically she can see it in my writing. I just wrote differently. You know, it sounded a little more creative because I was a creative writer. That's what I was. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to be a part of her research team. And she told me like, hey, this summer I'm doing this research thing. But the thing is, at the time, my priorities was I was going to be an RA that summer. I was going to work, get some free housing, be with friends. I think at certain points in your life, your priorities are different. You know, at that point in my life, that was my priority. And I told her like, you know what? This just isn't my goal. So I think it's better if you choose somebody else. But what's funny now is like, that's the thing that I want to do. That's the thing that I was told I was good at. That's the thing I was getting that experience in. And it was a very roundabout way, but I'm going to that.
So this whole time, your career path has been teasing you.
It's been a tease, but English has definitely helped me. It's definitely helped me.
And I mean, this is quite a lesson here for everyone. Mm. It doesn't hurt until you try it. You had the opportunity twice, and obviously the situation was different where you didn't have the opportunity to accept it. But now it somehow you came to this conclusion, and through all these years and the podcast, but you got definitely to the place you want, and that's actually where I'm going through too. You know, I think I mentioned it here, but I majored in business management and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of had like a weird, honestly, it's not like I'm too far gone of what I want to do, but I remember from the beginning, I was like, I'm just going to major as a business manager / entrepreneur. That's kind of like a hybrid degree. I was like, do I really just want to, you know, start my own business after I graduate? Is that going to be my plan? You know, my mom's a business owner. She obviously, I have the person to teach me a couple of things, but I was like, do I really want to do this? And long-term wise, I also liked marketing because it brought out the creativity out of me. But also from doing my research, I knew it wasn't the biggest, best career prospect I could take. But I liked knowing about marketing because I know eventually if you want to start a business, you got to be able to know how to sell and be able to kind of understand your clientele. And I almost for a little bit, I don't know if I told you, Hector, but I considered double majoring for psychology because of marketing. Because it's just interesting to know about people's thoughts and ideas, or even being able to project what they're going to do next from that research alone. So that's why I really got into marketing as well. But from there, you know, I've been doing my marketing career pretty well, but it's not, if I feel like it's something, and I think if everyone just goes through this, because I know a lot of connections graduate with their degree, but then end up doing something else. At times it's out of need, at times it's out of something they actually like. And I think I'm going through that too, where marketing is something cool, I like it, but it's not the career path I would like to choose, especially if I'm going to go for my master's degree. And I'm, you know, I'm juggling three things. I think I'm juggling like between financial, business management, or even the law, funny enough, because I have some connections there and I've had intriguing conversations with them. So between those three things, I'm trying to at least gain more experience within them, or at least try to learn more about the industries and how my career would project from them. And then also apply to my own master's program, depending on what I choose, you know. And it's something where at times, you know, some people immediately graduate and go do the master's degree. That's good. I almost did that. I almost did that for business management. But I think it's better to take a step back, gain more experience within that field, like you did with at least the podcast and your research, and know that you're going to something that you really like.
Definitely. I've heard a lot of people, you know, it's easy to compare yourself to those people, you know, the ones that graduated, knew exactly what they were going to do, already had a job lined up or had a master's program lined up. And our friend in particular, it's funny that we're talking so much about Angel, but damn, you know, he graduated and he wanted to be a physical therapist. He went to a really good school. He had that lined up already. He had that all planned out. And I think it's easy to look at those people who already know and who are already successful and be like, well, you know, why am I not doing that? But like you said, sometimes you need to take that break. Sometimes, you know, you just had distractions or changed your mind. We all have different paths. Some people just knew what they wanted. And I think that's at times very lucky. But for us, like, I think definitely like we were saying, like this podcast, I think it just made us reflect a lot on what we wanted to do, what we didn't want to do. And again, just the idea of sometimes we're good at something, sometimes it's not what we want to do. Sometimes we major in something, sometimes it's not what we want to do. That's okay.
I think at the end of the day too, like at least everything's kind of connected from career wise. Like for me, you know, not only is marketing good for, you know, selling you products, but it could also be good for holding portfolios for big companies or something like that. Or basically my whole point would be like one degree could intertwine with another one where it could lead you to the other interest that you may like more.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that it got me annoyed. And I think I even told you, it's like you just get sent out there from your college, and from graduating, you're just sent out there and you're like, pick out of 1,000 positions what you want to do. Or what you could do in your career. And I've gone through that too, where when I was looking for jobs, it's just so many different positions that I didn't even know existed and were so interesting to me, but I didn't have the degree for it, or I didn't have the experience for it, or I had to basically start from scratch. So it's a thing where I feel like it's not nostalgic, but it's kind of like, how is it that it's just a question they ask to not elder people, but basically people that are 50 years old, 40 years old, and they're like 10, 20 years into your career. At times you get those answers where they're basically asked, do you like your career? And some of them just say no, but they need money in the coming back home. And they, you know, chose that career path, so they can't really go back. You know, they can't go back and start earning or being an intern even, or start earning... depending obviously where you live, but basically start earning lower wages than what you need in your current situation. It's kind of hard. And that's why I think me and you both emphasize that in your 20s, just take advantage of whatever you can. Like, especially you obviously we adult as we get older, but you know, in your 20s, I feel there's so much more flexibility out there that you could do whatever, pick whatever you like for that moment, that it could lead you to having a happier life in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And a big part of my reflection, I don't know if I was telling you this, Al, but like I had to realize, like, you know what? My family gave up so much leaving other family in Mexico to come here. My family settled in LA. I've had a lot of family in LA. So like my family leaving LA, my parents leaving LA in general, that was a big thing too. You know, them leaving, you know, their family. They had a lot of cousins and their parents, my grandparents, everyone was in LA, and like, how dare my parents leave? You know, family's over here. And LA to San Bernardino isn't that far. For those that know Southern California, you know, it's what, an hour. It's not that far. But my parents had to make that decision too, where they were like, well, we need better for our kids and our future. And recently, I was just in that mindset of, why am I staying here? You know, like, do I need to stay here? Am I, you know, like, there's other places I want to go to. I mentioned traveling. A year ago, I went to Seattle. I loved it. But I was like, I have nothing holding me back. Like, yeah, I love my family. But if they made big decisions for themselves, why shouldn't I do that? Why can't I do that? And I think that it's just easy to get comfortable in where you are. Family's here. The life you've always lived is here. This is here. Going somewhere new is scary. But sometimes you need to take that dive. Like, your mom even doing that big jump from Peru to here. Like that. Most people will be like, nah, I'm not leaving my kid, you know, and just be comfortable in their life. But sometimes I think you need to do that scary thing.
Get out of your comfort zone. If you want to always progress, just get out of your comfort zone. And I think I've dealt with that too when I had career prospects, not even outside the state, just having to move to Northern California. I was like, oh. But now that I look back, I'm like, you know, if my mom could move from Peru to here,
yeah,
I could do that small jump. And, you know, at times it can be scary getting out of your comfort zone, but it'll be worthwhile. And now I kind of see that. I feel like if I would have been in this same situation again, I wouldn't hesitate as much anymore. And just see the how do you say, the better projection I could get from just doing that. And it's not only your career, but it's also your growth. So, being more responsible for yourself, being probably able to have your own space, think on your own, have your own decisions, all those things. So, it could definitely be something where it's worthwhile. It is worthwhile just getting out of your comfort zone and doing something different or something new or something you wanted to do, but you weren't comfortable with doing it. Just try it out. Just try it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But, Al, we've reached the end of the podcast. I don't know when is the next time I'm going to say that.
It's a hiatus for now. It's maybe we'll come back with new ideas, new career paths.
Maybe we'll make a new podcast. You don't know. Maybe we just don't know. And that's the thing. Like, you and me at the end of the day, we're people who want to make stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have the other podcast, Noob Camp, but the same thing with that one. I'm going to take a little break from that one. But I would love to do these two still. But it's just the idea of sometimes you need to focus on other things. And that's okay.
I just got to say, like, at least from my point of view, you went from Austin to Seattle to living in LA.
I still want to New York. I still want to try out Austin and Seattle. Those are two definitely up there. And like I said, one day I plan on going for my PhD. That's going to be very heavily based on where I want to be. Definitely.
And also your career path too. When you know, during this podcast lifetime, you went from just, you know, trying to get some sort of career experience to going for your master's for teaching, leaving that. Sticking around, looking for production. Actually, you started getting into production a little more during this podcast, and now you went to media. You know, media cover, media research.
Yeah, really quick, Al. Let me ask you this: compare that you when you started this podcast to where you are right now. Because for me, at the time, I was working an after-school program. It was a shitty job. I was working 20 hours a week, getting paid very little to deal with very violent kids. I mentioned before watching a kid stab another kid with a spork in the back. I was pursuing teaching. I thought I was pursuing teaching. And now I'm going to grad school in New York 2.5 years later. Like, that's just that transition. I've moved 3 different apartments. I don't mind saying this, Al, but last year I moved into an apartment. I was there for a month and a drunk driver drove into the apartment right below us. Lost my apartment. I was displaced for a month. I moved like 3 times in the past year. 2.5 years. From that to this, but really quick, if you were to summarize, how has that transition been for you from 3 years ago, 2018, 2019, when we started, to now?
I think I still have a ways to go in it. Like, I've had so many, I think I'm going through what you're going through from the beginning.
Midlife, you know, crisis?
Like, nah, where it comes to obviously still picking what you want to do.
Yeah.
At least for me, I think now I kind of have an idea and a roadmap of what I have to do to then see what I want to do and then apply, obviously, and see my career prospects from there. But I think the biggest decision for me, it's been like, I'm not too intertwined with, let's say, previous situations, and also probably a little more free thinking of what I want to do than I was before. Before, I thought, oh, okay, I have to do this. I have to, I don't know, like, for an example, like, oh, I have to run my mom's career and do that, and or for my career too, for marketing, I'm like, oh, I have to be a marketing coordinator, and it'll take me this long to get to, you know, a career prospect I like. But then again, I was so interested into that. I think I'm more free thinking of that. I'm thinking more of what I want to do, and, you know, get the whenever I get the opportunity, jump on that opportunity to experience those things and then move forward with them. So I've definitely changed in that. I also, like you say, you know, more comfortable in speaking my own skin. So it could lead to other projects that I never thought I would have ever done before.
Yeah, now I can tell you this. I've been pushing him outside of the podcast to start a sports podcast. He wants to do something with sports. I've been pushing this guy. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'll produce it.
I'll definitely give you a shout, man. A graduate from going from New York is pretty good. So yeah, I think definitely, yeah, more career centered and definitely understanding at least what people could go through too, because it is something annoying, dude. And I'm going through this, and obviously you have too, where it's like you graduate for this, but you're then choosing something else. It's that little process.
Yeah.
More people take, but we're going through it, and eventually it's going to lead to the right career path we want.
I've known people in their 40s still going to school, so I think that's a driver. I'm like, you know what? Now's the perfect time. Why not?
It's crazy how just that happens, you know? Like, I before was just, like, marketing and entrepreneur mindset type, and now I'm, like, more financial, judicial and business management type of thing. Like, it's definitely an experience you have to go through. And like you said before, other people know what they want from right away. Good for them. But for other people, it's like, it's an experience that may make you a little more humble, you know, in the future, and then make you value your where you're at right now.
Definitely, definitely.
But Hector, I would say my last takeaway too from just the last episode before the hiatus is, I've been having fun, man. I love what you do. I love the advice you give me in and out of the podcast, and that mentality can really help other people too, like your friends, family, anybody that listens to you. You'll definitely be a great person not to only listen to, but lead as well.
Yeah, man. Same for you, man. You're going to get some rejections, but sometimes those rejections are a good thing. I think it's easy to be like, oh, I'm not good enough. But sometimes it's like, you know what? This one just wasn't for me. Mm. But we do need to really quick thank our fans, Al. We cannot forget that. The audience. One thing for sure, I was listening to a podcast a while ago, and they were talking about stats, and they were saying stats don't tell a whole story. You know, you can see this podcast got 40 listens, this one got 100 listens, this one got this, but it doesn't tell you for the ones that listened if it made a difference. It doesn't tell you this inspired a person. It doesn't tell you those things, and those are the ones that matter. So for those of you that have reached out to us and said, hey, I love this topic, or hey, I shared it with this person, like, thanks for that. Stats don't show those things. We can express our gratitude for it, but there were people that helped us along the way too, Al. You had two friends. What were their names?
You forgot your friends. I forgot their name.
Wow.
Ned and
three friends.
Danny, Ned, damn it, I forgot one.
Thanks for the people that we had on the show. Beatrice, Leilana, we've had a Quest on the show. He doesn't want me to say his real name. He's being very anonymous and weird about it. But, man, we've had some support. Even if it wasn't always a lot, we have had that support, and that's amazing.
Oh, Chris.
I thought it was Chris. I don't want to say a name out of nowhere. Chris, Al cares about you. He's just bad with names.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, Chris, Ned, and I forgot the other guy. Danny. There you go.
Yeah, you guys still share this podcast. I don't know. Maybe we'll be like, oh, shoot. All of a sudden, this thing is trending again. We got to make that comeback. We're gonna be like MJ when he left for baseball and he came back to the NBA, Al.
Yeah, or we're going to be, we're basically going to, like we said before in previous episodes, we're going to look back to these episodes in the future and we'll be like cringing.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Never podcast again.
We're going to be like, we could do this better now.
Time for us to start streaming, Al.
I'm just yes.
Kidding. Maybe.
Maybe. But do you have any final thoughts, Hector?
No, just thank everybody and don't be afraid. You know, and sometimes I think if we're scared of something, maybe we should reflect why we're scared. Maybe this is something we should pursue.
I think a final takeaway just for the whole podcast, all 141. We almost did the perfect 140, but 141. Just try it out. Like, try anything you want to do, have been thinking about, have a passion about. Don't overthink it. Don't overplan it. Just jump in. Get your feet wet. That's all that matters. And from there, you'll learn how to swim a bit better. But with that being said, this has been a great podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to episode 141, maybe 142 in the future. Who knows? Or even start from scratch. We'll see what happens, ladies and savages. But I got to just say, Hector, I know we have our stats. I just wish I knew the exact names of the people of, you know, the close listeners. Maybe we could give them a shout out in the future when we return, or in a little thank you or present or whatever in the future. But yeah, to all of them out there that are currently listening to us and have consistently been listening to us, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I can't wait for the future and what we have in store for us.
We're going to do big things. I don't know what they are. We're going to do big things.
For sure. But with that being said, this has been episode 141. This has been The Savages Unscripted. Please, if anything you want to hear, you like this episode, just click back to the other ones. We have 140 more to 40 more in there.
Don't tell us what topics you want us to talk about. You won't hear it for a while.
Yeah. And maybe some topics may be old, but at least you could take some sort of intake from how we think. But with that being said, this has been The Savages Unscripted, and we are out.
Deuces.